your Bibles, if you would please, this morning to 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1. We want to look at one verse this morning. If you don't have a Bible, the verse will be on the screen for you. 1 John chapter 1. And find, if you would please, verse number 4. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 4. Give you a moment to find your place there. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 4. Notice the Bible said, "In these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Now I want you to underline two words in your Bible: your joy. Your joy. Notice the Bible said, John's saying, we're writing to you that your joy may be full. You see, I believe joy is the birthright of every child of God. The world around us wants to be happy. They want to be happy. God wants you to be joyful. The world is searching for happiness. Now, I sat down as I was studying for the message, and I could have spent hours, and I could have jotted down and bored you with statistic after statistic after statistic dealing with the depression and the anxiety and the suicide rates of our day. But the reality is, all that you have to do is use the eye test. All that you have to do is look around you to see that we live in an unhappy world, that people are searching for that that will make them happy. But friend, let me tell you, the Christian is sustained by joy. God said, I have something better for you than your happiness, and that is an everlasting joy. God has not promised us perpetual happiness. God didn't say that you and I were going to be happy all the time. But here's what He has promised us. He has promised us eternal joy. And I want to preach to you this morning on the transforming truth of joy. The transforming truth of joy. Let's pray and ask God to help us this morning. Father, we thank You for the wonderful music, the video that reminded us of the men and women, Lord, who have given all that we might be free. But yet, Lord, we can't think of that sacrifice without thinking of Your sacrifice. That, Lord, You gave up Your Son on the cross of Calvary, Lord, that we might have eternal life and eternal freedoms. And Lord, I know that a person can be imprisoned in a political environment in a country of communism or despotism, but yet be free in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank You for the freedoms that we have in You. Lord, the freedoms that we have as Americans. Lord, thank You for the joy that's given to us in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to understand something of Your joy this morning. And Father, that it would be a part of our lives that would transform our outlook, how we live, what we do. And Lord, that it would be an ever-present reminder of Your goodness in our lives. God, I pray You'll speak to us from Your Word this morning. Help me as I preach, and let Your Word be powerful in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we're talking about this matter of joy. You see, Christian joy is far different from the happiness that the world is searching for. Whenever you and I think of happiness, it's an outward thing. Yet joy, on the other hand, is an inward thing. Happiness is fleeting, fickle, fluctuating. But yet joy is constant, it's abiding, it's permanent. Happiness is found in the circumstances of life. When things are going my way, when I'm on the mountaintop, as the song was, then I tend to be happy. But yet you know that behind every mountain is a valley. And in that valley, when we run into difficult circumstances and hardship and difficulty, our happiness, our gladness can quickly turn to sadness. But the good news is that God's joy is not found in people and places and pleasure and possessions. It's not found in the circumstances of life, but it's found in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. The Bible is filled with references about joy and rejoicing. The words joy and joyful are found some 250 times in the Bible. The words rejoicing and rejoice are found some 200 times. And over 450 times, God has told us to be joyful and rejoice as the people of God. As a matter of fact, Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse number 10, the Bible tells me that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Do you know that joy will keep me going when times get hard and difficult and desperate? God's joy will strengthen me in life. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. That word always means in every circumstance, every situation, that I can find the joy of the Lord in my heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, "Rejoice evermore." Aren't you glad that God enables us, you and me, to live in an atmosphere of joy? And I want to give us some truths this morning that I believe will help us to experience the joy of God in our hearts and lives, allow it to spill over into the lives of others. You see, God's joy can transform your life. Notice, if you would, first of all, God is the provider of joy. Would you jot that down? God is the provider of joy. Happiness is found in circumstances. Joy is found in God. I want you to hold your place here, because when John wrote these lines under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I believe the words of the Lord Jesus were still ringing in his ears. I want you to go back to the Gospel of John, hold your place, 1 John, and look at chapter number 15. Now, we've looked at these verses many times, and we'll look at them many times again. Anytime you preach on joy, you can't help but go to this verse, all right? Because John is referencing the words of the Lord Jesus. Notice what he says in John 15 and in verse number 11. And you're going to see the connection, the correlation between the two. Notice he says in verse 11, "These things," the Lord Jesus is saying, "these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Here's what I wrote down in my Bible. Joy is personal. Notice God says it's my joy, and His joy becomes your joy. Did you see that? Notice the connection there between His joy and our joy. It's a personal matter. It comes from a personal relationship and fellowship with the God of heaven. And then notice, it is permanent. It remains in you. Aren't you glad that, different from happiness, God's joy is a permanent matter? And then I want you to notice that it is powerful. It might be full. God's joy is powerful in your life and in my life. We've already seen that in the Scriptures, where God said the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so we find that joy can be a powerful aspect in our lives. And it was one of the Lord's desires for His own that they experience His joy. And so here's what I want you to understand. The moment you get saved, the moment a person comes to Christ, can I tell you, Christ's joy is given to us. You see, when we get saved, Jesus gives us His joy. It's a birthright. And you're going to find that joy is what we have, and therefore rejoicing is what we're to do. Christian, let me just tell you, you have God's joy. You just need to let it out in your life. Amen? So often we fail to let God's joy flow out of our lives. And so if I have Jesus, then I have His joy. I have it. It's mine. And I recognize that. The Bible tells us, if you look back, and of course we will in a moment, that the source of the Christian's joy, John says here in his gospel and then in 1 John, as he remembers the Lord, words of the Lord Jesus, and he talks about our fellowship with the living Christ, and he reminds us that the source of our joy is one of relationship and fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, in whose presence is fullness of joy. And so listen, hey, the world can give you a fleeting moment of happiness, but I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ, the God of heaven, can give you an everlasting joy. Amen? So I need to understand, first of all, God is the provider of joy. Number two, I want you to get this, the Christian is the possessor of joy. You remember what I just told you? You remember what we just understood? That He has given us His joy. It's mine. If you're saved today, it's yours. John said in 1 John 4:11, we'll go back there and spend a little bit more time there in a moment, but he said that your joy might be full. Your joy, personal possession, it's mine. I have it. And listen, have you ever noticed that God does all things well in our lives? You ever notice that? And when Jesus said, I want to give you life, he didn't just say, I want to give you life. He said, I want to give you abundant life, abounding life. And dear Christian, when God gives us his joy, he doesn't just give us joy, he gives us fullness of joy. Did you see that? Look again in verse number 11. He said that your joy might be full. And exactly is what John said. Says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 11, when he said, I'm writing to you that your joy might be full. Now what does that mean? Well, it means to supply liberally. It means to fill up. It has the idea of being filled to the brim. And that's the idea. It has the idea of overflowing. And here's what Jesus is saying. The Lord's saying, I don't want to just fill you with my joy. I want to fill you with my joy so that it fills you up to the point that it spills out of your life into the lives of other people. You see, here's what I understand. That when God's joy is present and prevalent in my life, even in the most difficult of circumstances, it will flow out of my life and touch the lives of other people. There'll be people around you, I don't see how they do that. I don't see how they go on. I don't see how they bear up under life. Friend, I don't see how in the midst of a difficult time that they can have a smile on their face. Hey, here's the good news, friend. We can have it and it's ours in Jesus Christ. And God said that it's full in our lives. The Bible describes joy as great joy, abundant joy, exceeding joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's a joy that's indescribable. It cannot be explained, only experienced. Friend, listen, I can't explain God's joy no more than I can explain God's peace. I can't explain those things, but the good news is, friend, that it can be experienced in your life and in my life, and that's why the psalmist said this, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That He's good. Aren't you glad God's good today? What a blessing that is. And so we find that we have abundant joy in Jesus Christ. Isn't that a blessing today? But not only is it abundant, friend, it is abiding. Look, if you would, verse 11 again of 1 John 15. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. It might remain in you. It's abiding. It's abiding joy. It doesn't take long to discover how quickly that the happiness of today can become the sadness of tomorrow. But Christ's joy is the constant companion of the child of God. It is the continual outflow of His joy in our hearts. That word remain, it means to continually abide. It means to remain in. It's an abiding matter. And the joy that the Lord is speaking of is complete and constant. It is full and abundant and abiding at all times and in every circumstance. Friend, listen, you can have the joy of the Lord even in times of crisis and sorrow and difficulty in your life. I mentioned to you earlier, God hasn't promised us perpetual happiness. But He has promised us eternal joy so that we can be like the teapot when it's neck deep in boiling water. Friend, we can sing. Isn't that a blessing? Now, we don't hear that much anymore, but I remember when my grandma, when I was a little boy, she'd have a teapot and she'd put that thing on the stove and it would boil. And when the water had boiled to the point that you could pour and make instant coffee or instant tea or instant grits or whatever you was going to do or whatever she's going to do with it, there would be a whistle that would go through the house. It would sing, so to speak, with that boiling water. And friend, listen, when you and I are in the tumultuous times of life, we can still sing a song unto the Lord. You know, that's one of the paradoxes of the Christian life. God never promised us joy without tears. I want to give you some verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Romans chapter 5, verse number 3, we glory. That word glory is the same word joy. We glory in tribulation also. See, that doesn't make sense. sorrowful, rejoicing. Glory, tribulation, trial, adversity, hardship. James 1:2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you encounter divers or different kinds of temptation. Count it all joy. And not that I'm struggling, not that I'm hurting, not that I'm going through a difficult time, but the knowledge that God is with me and working in me and through me, and God hasn't left me even when I hurt. You know, sometimes when we hurt, we feel like God's so far away. But friend, can I tell you, He's really close at hand because He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake me. You know, even in times of persecution, God's people can be happy. 1 Peter 4:4, Peter said, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Friend, listen, Jesus wasn't ashamed to hang on the cross for us. We ought not be ashamed to live our lives for Him publicly and powerfully. Amen? And to let people know to whom we belong in the day in which we live. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas have been thrown into prison and their backs have been beaten bloody, their arms and legs in shackles, and no doubt they're in that cold inner prison and they've went through a difficult time and they're in the prison simply because they preached and a demon-possessed girl got saved and her masters got upset because they lost the gain that they were making through her soothsaying and all the different things that she was doing, and they went to the authorities and had Paul and Silas cast into prison because they had done something good. Isn't that interesting? And while they're there, now if that was me in that prison, I'd no doubt be lamenting my situation. Lord, I just tried to help people, and look here, I've wound up in prison for it. And look, my back's bloody. And you know how we sometimes, just in the circumstances of life, we can get so gripey and complainy, can't we? You know what Paul and Silas did? They prayed. And they sang praises to the God of heaven. And friend, can I tell you, it was so powerful in that prison that God came down and He shook the prison and He loosed the bonds and everybody stayed in the prayer meeting. Isn't that amazing? I mean, listen, normally if the prison doors flew open and the shackles fell off, didn't you think an ever-hardened prisoner in there would make their way out the door? You know what had happened? Friend, listen, the joy of the Lord was so prevalent in Paul and Silas's life. It had so impacted the other prisoners that no doubt they had gotten saved, and the jailer was about ready to kill himself because he thought everybody had fled. And Paul said, hey, don't kill yourself. We're all here. We're still in prayer meeting. And the Bible said that he asked for a light and he sprang in there trembling. Here's this hardened Roman soldier, this jailer, and he's trembling. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What do I have to do to have what you have? Friend, let me just tell you something. When God's joy flows through your life, it impacts the lives of other people and it brings them to Jesus Christ. You see, that's what makes us different from the world around us. See, listen, the world's happy when everything's going good. But when a Christian can joy when things are going bad, it begins to impact the lives of people around them because we have something they don't have. Amen? How important it is. Somebody said, there's never a day so dreary, there's never a night so long, but the soul that is trusting Jesus will somewhere find a song. I love this. I jotted this down. Joy can swim in the stormy waves of suffering long after happiness has drowned. Job said he gives songs in the night. We mentioned it earlier. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. He will take us through His joy will take us through the tough times and the difficult times of life. John 16:33, in the world you have tribulation, but in me you have joy. He said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Isn't that a blessing? Friend, we can be of good cheer in the world in which we live. I'm reminded of the great preacher of the past that lost his daughter, is Reuben Torrey. He was one time the president of Moody Church there. He pastored the Moody Church and was president of the college there. And he lost his 12-year-old daughter. She was accidentally killed and he was overwhelmed with grief. The funeral was on a cold, dreary day outside of Chicago, and they watched as their little girl was lowered into her final resting place. As they walked away, his wife, Miss Torrey, said, I'm so glad that Elizabeth is with the Lord and she's not in that box. Yet even knowing what she said was true, Dr. Torrey's heart was so broken. He said in his diary, the next day was so overwhelming and so hard, and there were times when he didn't know if he would even live himself. He went for a walk so burdened and so broken, and he looked up to heaven and he cried out and he said, "Oh God, please help me. Please, God, help me." He wrote this. He said, "Just at that moment, this fountain, the Holy Spirit broke forth with such power as I think I'd never experienced before. And it was just the most joyful moment I've ever known. Oh, how wonderful is the joy of the Holy Ghost. It is an unspeakably glorious thing to have this joy, not in things or others around you, but an unending fountain springing up, springing up, springing up under all the circumstances of life. He is the fountain. It is only found in Him." Isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful? Aren't you glad, friend, that God is the provider of joy and the Christian is the possessor of joy? It is an abundant joy. It is an abiding joy. But then you're saying, "Preacher, if I've got it, why will it not come out?" Because the Spirit is the producer of joy. Friend, listen, do you know that the Holy Spirit can produce that joy and allow it to flow through our lives into the lives of other people? Let me give you three ways, real quickly, that God's joy can flow through your life. Number one, be filled with the person of God. Christian, can I just tell you that the joy of the Lord flows through our lives when we're filled full of God. Now listen, that's not some kind of mystical thing. All right, listen to Romans 14:17. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." Boy, what a trilogy. Those are three things the world is searching after in such a fashion that they are looking to every possession, every pleasure, every place that this world has to offer, looking for those three things, and every one of them are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are produced in us through the Holy Ghost. They are the possession of every child of God. Friend, you have His love, you have His joy, you have His peace, and when you're filled full of God, it can flow out of your life. Amen? It sure can. Wow. Being filled with the Holy Spirit and being filled with love and joy and peace go in hand. Being filled with the Spirit means that I'm yielded to the Spirit of God, that God is in control of my life. And when I surrender my life on a daily basis to the control of the Holy Spirit, it allows Him to begin to produce His fruit in my life. And friend, let me just tell you something. It's real fruit. It's actual fruit. It is powerful fruit. And it can be shown forth in our lives as Christians. One of the prayers I pray every morning, every day, I say, "God, I pray that Your Son will show through in my life today. God, help me to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. Help me." And sometimes, folks, I'll say, "Lord, I don't even know what yieldedness looks like, but God, I want You to have control of me today." And I'll begin to go through my mind and my lips and my body and my life. And I say, "God, I don't want to be an instrument of unrighteousness, but an instrument of righteousness. I want to be yielded to You today. God, I want You to be in control. And God, let Your fruit flow in my life. Help me." And then I say, "God, help me to love with Your love. Help me to have Your joy. Help me to show it in my life." And I go through the different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit and ask God to let them flow through in my life. And friend, listen, I can tell you when I'm in the flesh and in the Spirit. You say, "Preacher, how do you do that?" When I'm in the flesh, those things aren't showing forth. And when I'm walking in the Spirit, they are. Friend, I can tell you, when you're in control, God's joy is not going to flow through your life. When you're having it your way, His love and His joy and His peace isn't going to be showing forth. Can I tell you, the world's seen enough of Kevin Broyhill. They need to see more of Jesus Christ flowing through me. Amen? Listen, it's just simple. If you're not filled with the presence of God and the person of God, then you don't have any joy in your life. Listen, maybe today what it is you need to daily yield yourself to God afresh in you and ask God to fill you and control you and then walk in step with the Spirit of God that He might produce His fruit in you. And then, friend, listen, practice loving God's way. Practice rejoicing in the Lord. It's amazing when you begin to look inside in difficult times and you begin to yield yourself to God, a song can spring up in your heart, and at that moment you just need to let it out. Amen? Then, next, I want you to jot this down. Focus on the presence of God. Do you practice the presence of God in your life? Listen to Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Isn't it interesting? All the world's looking for pleasure, and God said, it's at My right hand. I've got it. It's yours. All the world's looking for what everything that the Christian has. It's just what they're looking for is not the same thing that we have in the same sense. They want happiness. We have joy. They want pleasure in a worldly sense. We have pleasure in a spiritual sense. And see, here's the thing. The pleasures of God are not all the always things that you can buy. You can't go down to the store, swipe the MasterCard, and get God's pleasures all the time. They come from His presence. Walking with Him. Knowing His presence in our lives. Folks, listen, we need to learn to practice the presence of God. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 4, because I want you to see what he says here. You see, fellowship with God is a real matter. Do you talk to God throughout the day? Not just when times get tough. I lose my keys, God knows where they're at. Sometimes it takes a while for Him to help me find them. But I'm praying, Lord, I really need my keys. You know, you say, preacher, do you pray about everything? I want to. I think it'd be a lie if I said, oh, I pray about everything. But yet how important it is to pray without ceasing. To be in communion with God. To be an atmosphere of walking with Him. Look if you would, 1 John chapter 1 now, verse number 3. We're going to sort of work into our passage now. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard. You know what John's just said in the opening verses? We've seen Him. We have heard Him. We have touched Him. He's real. Friend, listen, God is real in the heavens, but He's real in your life and my life. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. You know what John's saying? I'm having fellowship with the Father and Son, and I want you to join in with it. That's what he's saying. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Do you know that joy is predicated upon my fellowship with God? It is. That I'm walking with Him. What does that look like, preacher? Look at verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declaring to you that God is light. Now, light in this passage is a metaphor, that is saying to us that God is right, God is righteous, God is holiness, and in Him is no darkness. Here, darkness is not darkness like day and night, but darkness in the sense of sin, evil, disobedience, wickedness. And Bible says that God is light, and there's no darkness, no evil, wickedness, sinfulness, unrighteousness in Him at all. Our God is absolutely and perfectly holy. Amen. Verse 6. If we say, this is what we're saying, that we have fellowship with Him, that means we're walking with Him, that we're enjoying Him, and walk in darkness, that means that there's sin or disobedience in our lives. We lie and do not the truth. We're really not telling the truth. That's pretty black and white, isn't it? That's pretty plain. God's saying you can claim all you want to that you're spiritual, but if there's sin and disobedience in your life, you're not, and you're not in fellowship with me, and my joy and my love and my peace can't flow through your life. Verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with each other. And the blood of His Son cleanseth us from all sin. And what He's getting ready to say is how we deal with the darkness, the disobedience and sin in our life is through the blood of Jesus Christ that continually cleanses us. Isn't that a powerful thing? Now friend, here's what I want you to get. It's a matter of a relationship and fellowship with God, and it equals joy. If I'm right with God, that means I'm saved. That I have a right relationship. There's been a time in my life that I've come to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. My sins are forgiven. The penalty of my sin has been dealt with. My name is written in heaven. I am a child of God. And then I walk in fellowship with my God. Then His joy can flow through my life. And friend, listen, when we focus upon the presence and the fellowship of God and we're communing with Him and walking with Him, His joy becomes a reality in our lives. He fills us with Himself. And friend, God can't fill you with Himself without filling you with His joy. Amen? What a powerful thing. We need to focus on the presence of God, spending time in His Word, prayer, walking with Him on a daily basis, meditating upon the things of God, singing the songs of God, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And I'm just going to say something, and it's going to help you. If you'll get the world's song out of your life and you'll get God's song in your life, it'll bring joy. I believe one of the reasons why we don't have God's song in our heart is because we're crowded out with the world's music and the world's song. And you can't be listening to the world's beat and the barroom drawl of the country music scene and have God's joy in your life. You just can't do it. Because His joy isn't going to flow through that. I'll just be honest with you. I'm so glad that God put a new song in my heart. One of the biggest battles that I had as a teenager and as a young Christian was moving away from the music that was so much a part of my life. Because you know what the devil wants to do? He wants to use music. Do you know that Satan is a musical creature? And he has his music and God has his. And all you've got to do is go to the music store and look at the I used to say albums. Now you just pull up your phone and you see the picture of it. You know, it's so different. Or go to the music store and look at the compact discs that are almost obsolete. You know? And all you got to do is look at the cover of that thing and see the satanic symbols. They don't try to hide it, what they are. Just listen to what Hollywood and the music industry says about God. Just listen. You don't have to wonder whether or not they're of God. They're letting you know up front they're not, and whose side they are and who they represent. They're not playing games. Well, I know that Elvis recorded an album many years ago, and it was a gospel. Well, that doesn't make him a Christian. I pray he was. I don't know his heart, but that doesn't make him one. Just because somebody sings a gospel song don't mean they're going to heaven. And it's one of the biggest battles that I had. But I can tell you this, the moment I laid that down in my life, it was amazing what God began to do in my life. And I can tell you, Satan is seeking to crowd out the voice of God through the world's music. Because God can't speak through it. And I'm convinced we've got a generation of young people and we have reaped a generation of young people because music has been so powerful in their lives. Don't you touch my music. And that is so in their ears. They walk around with it plugged in their ears all the time. And listen, it's just noise that crowds out the voice of God. And many of them have it because they don't want to hear the voice of God. And you know what? As I'm preaching, there's Christians even in this room that you're resisting what I'm saying. You are. But friend, I'm telling you, and I'm promising you this, you'll never know the fullness of God's presence and the fullness of His joy till you get His song in your heart. And sometimes it's just a little children's song. Sometimes I'll just sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Because I want to remind myself when I hurt that Jesus loves me. Sometimes I'll sing one of the choir songs. I tell you, one of the best things you can do is download our church app and all of our church music's on there. You just listen to it. Let God speak to your heart. You know, sometimes God speaks to my heart through a song and blesses me and comforts me and helps me. That's why I sing to myself. And that's why I don't sing in the choir or sing special, because you wouldn't like it and you wouldn't have any joy if I sang to you. The Bible said, make a joyful noise to the Lord. It didn't have to be melody all the time. Let me give you this last thing and I'm going to be finished. Be faithful in the purposes of God. You say, preacher, why do you have to say these things? Because I'm not your friend if I don't. I'm your enemy. The preacher that coddles and sweet talks and says what people wants to hear never helps people in their lives. And I want to help you. Look again, if you would please, at 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Do you see the correlation and the connection? Then we talk about God being light, and we have fellowship with Him when we're not walking in darkness, when we're walking in the light. So that's being faithful in the purposes of God. We've already learned joy flows out of my fellowship with God, and nothing breaks the fellowship of God and robs me of my joy quicker than sin and disobedience and self-will. Walking in the light means I'm obedient to God and to His Word. That's why David, when he sinned with Bathsheba and he's writing his penitential psalm under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's already repented, he's already gotten right, and he's giving us a formula of confession and forgiveness and then the outcome of all of that. And in his prayer he said, restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. Do you realize that you can never lose your salvation, Christian, but you sure can lose the joy of it? And sin breaks that fellowship and breaks our joy, doesn't it? And if we want to enjoy our joy, then we need to not only be filled with the person of God, we not only need to focus on the presence of God, but we need to be faithful to the purposes of God in our lives. I hear this all the time. God, show me your will. Can I say in a very kind way, God's already answered that prayer. It's right here. This is it. See, we're looking for some kind of, nebula, I don't know, something out there, you know, it's fuzzy and all of that. And God said, wait, I've already given you my will. Just walk with me and I'm going to guide you right into it. You're going to head right headlong into it. This is the way, walk in it. God's going to impress things on your heart and you'll find confirmation in the Word of God and you'll have the assurance that you're walking in His paths for your life. See, this thing is not hard, folks. It's just simple obedience to God and walking with Him and letting Him have His way in my life. And I'll just tell you, every time it goes wrong, it's because I've got off His path. And I'm on my own path. Isn't that true? And so we need to walk in the light as He's in the light and walk with Him. They said that one of the greatest Christians that showed forth the joy of the Lord in a very unusual way was William Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army. They came to him in his later years and they said, Dr. Booth, would you please tell us what is the secret of your great joy? And that great saint of God said this. He said, it's very simple. I never say no to the Lord. I just don't tell Him no. I tell Him yes. It's called being yielded to God and letting God have His way in your life. You see, I'm here to tell you there's joy, friend, that can be yours in Jesus Christ. That joy comes. You're the possessor of it when He comes to live in your heart. Do you realize that right now the Holy Spirit is knocking on the door of some people's hearts right here in this room? He is. He wants in your life. But here's the truth of it. God will never barge and force His way into any person's life. I have to open the door and let Him in. I have to do that by faith. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in." You see, you can have His joy by simply opening the door of your heart and letting Jesus into your life. And His joy will come into your life, and then you can begin to let it out as you fill with His presence and you focus on His presence and you live out His purposes in your daily life. And His joy, friend, it's just a natural outflow. I don't have to work it up. It just naturally flows as I yield to Him and I let Him have His way with my life. Let me ask you a question. How's your joy meter this morning? Is your joy meter ramping up? Or do you have to say, "Preacher, my joy meter is way down here at the bottom"? Then maybe you need to check, Christian, your fellowship this morning. Check your fellowship. What's going on in your life? Where's God in your life? That'll be a real indicator of maybe why there's no joy in your life as a Christian. You have it. You just need to do what it takes to let it out. Amen? Amen. And if you're here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I want that joy." Friend, you can have it in Jesus Christ if you don't have Him this morning. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed all over the room.